turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20 this morning. And I just want to talk about this new series just a little bit. Already I'm going to tell you I'm off schedule, all right? Week one. This is going to be a two-part sermon today about, I want to lay the groundwork just a little bit for you this morning. So this is going to be kind of like an introductory sermon. You're not going to get much on the armor of God yet today, but next week you're going to get all the armor of God in that sermon. So it just was too much when I got putting it together this past week. And so this series is probably going to run into the middle of July. And so it's going to look like this. So you're going to get the introductory, the armor, and then we're going to move into the schemes of the devil and how he affects us spiritually in our Christian walk. And I'm just going to be real honest with you. I'm going to preach the truth of God's word, and those schemes are going to hurt, is what I'm going to tell you. All right? They're going to become very evident in your life, and you're going to see them maybe in your family. As I looked at this series and I looked at the verses, and we can see how Satan enters into our families, into our spiritual journeys and walks, how he disrupts, how he confuses, how he pulls away. And all those things are affecting the way that we live our lives. And so you're going to see yourself in some of these schemes. And as I was looking through this series, I thought, oh my, that's me. And it's not, I didn't want to hear that. I didn't want to see that. And I know you're going to see the same thing when I go through this. Because it affects you deeply in this series about how Satan can mess with our lives. And especially we see them through the generational things that go on in our families. And I'll just call it what it is. Some of us deal with generational sin in our families, and that's from a spiritual warfare that's gone on for years and years in some of our families. And by no means am I here to pick on anybody or to draw or single anybody out. But there's going to be Sundays you're going to leave here and you think, boy, I felt like that was right pointed at me today. And I don't do that intentionally, but I just know that when we get into this, Satan's going to try to work hard. He's gonna come at you with everything he's got. I'm going to tell you that. And because I've already experienced that this past week. As I prepared for this message, I truly believe that when we preach the truth of God's word, that Satan will come against us as a church as well. And against you and in your family. So you're going to get the armor next week to guard yourself and to be prepared for this series. So I hope that I can give you strength and encouragement and hope, and that we experience God's grace as well through this series. So keep your heads lifted up. Keep your chins lifted up because you serve the mighty one. All right? And so remember who you serve, because the things that you will encounter are not easy today. So let's get into the word of God, and then we'll get into the first part of this message this morning. All right? Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. It'll be the same set of verses next week. There'll probably be a few additional that I'll put onto that as well next week that we'll reference. So, okay? So, now watch what happens here. I just love the ending of this, verses 19 and 20, how we should be. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Right? So there's the word schemes we're going to talk about for the next several weeks and what that looks like. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, meaning not against one another, is what that really says. But against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then. With the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. I love that word fearlessly this morning. for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. The word of the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, may you just prepare us for this series. Lord, as we get into the reality of the lives as we live here in this sinful world, Lord, we come here as a broken people this morning, and we know that we come here in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, so may you bless this message today. May it be your words and not mine. And Lord, I pray for those that have gathered here in your house, those that are listening online this morning in their homes or wherever they are. Lord, may you bless them with that same spirit. Lord, may you just open their hearts, their minds, and souls to receive your teaching. In Jesus I pray, amen. I'm going to give you a picture here this morning, and it's a little bit of a hard picture to see, but you'll get it. And this is so to the point, and here it is, right here. How many of you realize that you are in a war, and you are that wildebeest that's running around there, and this is the verse that Paul gives us, and he says, you need to realize that Satan is hunting you as a follower of Jesus Christ, right? And a lot of us today, I think, take a more casual approach to God in our lives as we follow him, and we don't take the seriousness of who Satan is and what he's capable of. He's powerful, way more powerful than you are. You don't stand a chance against him in your flesh. You will lose every time. And so I give you this picture this morning to see what that is like and how he hunts you. You know, you think about lions. And how many of you watch like National Geographic and the shows that are on TV of things that are going on a safari and you watch this pack of lions as they hunt? Has anybody witnessed or watched some of those things? Yeah. What do they go after? Is it the strong ones in the middle of the pack? They go after the weakest ones. They go after the ones that are on the fray, on the outer edge of the pack, and they hunt those. And it's the same for you and I in the church. If we are spiritually vulnerable, if we are distant from God, and I can even maybe say we're distant from church, you need to be really careful because you're on the fray. And this might be you someday with your soul. And so you need to guard yourself. You need to protect yourself because you are vulnerable. The verse in the bottom of the screen, or top of the screen, excuse me, 1 Peter 5, verse 8. You know, I've read that so many times. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. And then I came up with this picture, and I thought, those two, that has a whole different meaning, doesn't it? When you see that, and you get that in your mind of who Satan is in your life. And I want you to think about that through this whole entire series, and maybe I'll use this picture from every now and then to remind us of who Satan is in our lives. And where do you stand? Where do you be in the midst of things that are going on? You know, I want you to understand that the battle with Satan is very, very real. Some of you are like, no, in today's world, you know, I don't believe a lot of that stuff. God watches over me. He protects me. He feels the Spirit of God. Yes, most definitely. But there are spiritual things that are going on that you and I cannot see. Forces that work against us. Forces that let me just get into the message and you'll see it and you'll understand what I'm talking about here this morning. But I do believe that for many of us, that we don't realize that this unseen war is being fought around us. And you need to be aware of that because you could lose. And so I want you to know that this morning that you are also equipped with the weapons to send the devil running. Amen to that? You have the ability to protect yourself. You have the ability to defeat Satan through the Holy Spirit that lives within you and the power and the tools that God will provide you as far as the armor of God, which we'll talk more about next week. This is kind of the state of the church here today in America, and I don't know if any of you know, this is a pastor, Ed Salvaso, and this is what he states about the church in America today, and I'm sorry if it's a little bit small, but let me just read this to you this morning. This is what he says about the church when it comes to spiritual warfare. The church in the West today presents too easy a target for Satan. We do not believe we are at war. We do not know where the battleground is located. And in spite of our weapons, they are neither loaded nor aimed at the right target. We are unaware of how vulnerable we are. I believe that's very true today about the church in the West, in the Americas. And so I believe that we need to wake up. And if we aren't careful, you are going to lose this war for your soul. And I do not want you to lose that war because you know where that leads. I want you to win the battle with your soul with the help of Jesus Christ. And so this series that I'm going to bring to you is intended to bring an awareness of all these unseen wars that go on in our lives that you maybe don't realize that there's spiritual forces that are working behind those things. When you encounter those evil things, and they can be so subtle and so easily part of our culture today. And they penetrate into our families. And as I said earlier, those are the things that you're going to see and you think, oh my gosh, this has been going on for years in our family. And you're going to become aware of that. But when you become aware of it, you can begin to pray for it and you can shed light on it. And then when you do that through the power of the Holy Spirit, the devil will flee those things. For some of you, this might be a life-changing series for you and your family. And I hope that it is. I hope that by the end of July, you got a totally different outlook of maybe who you are, where you stand, and what your family's looking like. And maybe the work that you have to do as well within those means. And so I hope to reveal some weapons to you. I hope to give you equipment and resources to fight the fight, to go to war with Satan in your life. So let's get into the more biblical part of it this morning. The Bible doesn't directly use the term spiritual warfare, but we can find it in all kinds of verses that it leads to it or speaks about it or makes us aware of it. One of the first ones that I want to use is out of the book of Psalms. This would be from David. He declared this: "He teaches my hands to make war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You've also given me the shield of your salvation," meaning that you give me protection through the Spirit, right? David was aware of that in the Old Testament. Here, he understood that there is a spiritual war that's going on. And then if you jump to the book of Ephesians, when Paul is speaking here to the church in Ephesus, and he sees what's going on, he says these words in verses 10, 11, and 12. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God." He says, just don't leave with a sword. Don't just have your shoes on, but put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, meaning that each other necessarily. There might be times it might feel that way, but against principalities, against powers. Remember those two words because I want to address those in just a little bit. Against the rulers of this darkness that we encounter in this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. There is a whole entire evil structure that lives in the spiritual realm of the world that we are part of today. There are rankings. There are demons and angels, and Satan's the head of those. And some have quite a bit of power to influence and to do those types of things in our lives. And so you think about that verse in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, in the screen that I had of the lions attacking. I want you to know that one of the biggest spiritual battles that you'll face will be the battlefield of your mind. The thoughts that will come to you that I'm not good enough. I'm not equipped to do this, right? The lies that you believe that you know what I'm talking about here this morning as you go through life, because sometimes you ever had a bad day where you're depressed and you feel like, you know, nothing's working right and you're just not up to par. How many have ever been there? You don't have to raise your hand this morning. Some of you have been, but I've been there too, right? Where Satan's just beating you up. You're not good, you know, I'm not a good enough father. Those types of things enter your mind, don't they? I wish I could have done more in this situation. Why didn't I say this? Man, what a loser that I am. Right? The battlefield of the mind that Satan works you over in those types of things. And I think that leads into to physical things as well that we encounter in the world today. I want you to think about Judas. We just came through Easter. And we came through Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday. Judas Iscariot. Think about his life. This is what John said about Judas' mind. And Satan just twisted it. This is what John said out of John 13, verse 2. The devil already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Twisted his mind, warped it. And we know what happened to Judas' life and how it ended. And then we see that Peter advised followers of Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter 1, verse 13, it said, "For therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be ready for those attacks mentally as he comes at you. Those thoughts that you might have about yourself that are not true, but yet you and I believe so strongly." In the battle, this battleground is indeed within the mind and heart, and the devil works to deceive by his lies and schemes. And let me just say this. You're going to have to make spiritual choices that will affect your worldly things. More to come in the next several weeks. And there's going to be hard choices that you're going to have to make a stand that affect your worldly things, the way you live, the things your families are involved in, the things you're a part of in life. Those are the things that you're going to become aware of over time in this series. The word wiles, you heard that in the scripture this morning. In Ephesians 6, verse 11, it can also be translated as schemes. The schemes of Satan, the games that he plays with you and I. So this war that's being waged in our minds, in our hearts. Therefore, it doesn't always involve physical conflict, but it's a spiritual fight that you're in the midst of. And so for this reason, we are given spiritual weapons which to defend ourselves. So here's another verse that I want to share with you this morning, and this not even on the screen. This one comes from 2 Corinthians. If you want to write it down, you can. Chapter 10, verse 4 and 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. This is what they can do for you and I. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Meaning that there are things that you and I put before God in our lives. And we need to correct those things in our lives. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. The things that go on in your mind. That's what I'm speaking of here this morning. That's what 2 Corinthians is giving us as well. And so in our main text, Paul said that within the armor of God, there are weapons for spiritual warfare. And so if you want to be effective in ministry, so when I ask you those questions, do you want your family? Do you want your friends? Do you want your neighbors to be in heaven? And you all say, yes, I do. If that's your ministry. And if you want to be effective in those things, you need to have the spiritual armor on and part of your life if you're going to win the battle. Those are, and they're very serious things that I want you to be aware of this morning. And there's something that you need to put on every day in your life. Pray for those things. Now, Paul, being in his time, he was used to the Roman Empire. He's used to Roman guards, Roman soldiers. And so he takes this analogy or whatever of a Roman soldier, and he starts to put it into biblical terms of the different pieces of armor that a soldier carries. And he describes those to us here in verses 10 through 20. And of course, we'll get more into that next week. But that's the armor that he's starting to identify that we can carry, that we can win the war. Now, I want to show you some Old Testament stuff or prophecy of what Jesus was expecting or was going to do when he arrived here on earth as well. And that comes from the book of Isaiah, and I have that on the screen this morning. I need to apologize that the print's a little bit small because I couldn't get it all on there. Otherwise, it'd be several screens. But I want you to watch what it says about Christ when he comes, what he needs, and what he does when it comes to spiritual armor. All right? This is what Isaiah declared. Then the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice, meaning he's seen the evilness and the wickedness of the earth. He saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor, speaking of Jesus Christ, that would come into the world to be the sacrifice for sin. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation for him, and his own righteousness, it sustained him, meaning he sent Christ into the world. Now, listen closely. Here's where it comes in. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, speaking of Jesus Christ here, and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance, of clothing, and was clad of zeal as a cloak. Now, here's what I want you to know, that if Jesus is putting on the armor of God to defend against evilness, do you think that you might need it even more? Yes. Way more, because you're not Jesus, and neither am I. That's the point I want to make this morning. That's who you're dealing with in the world today. Satan, a mighty foe. And so it's important for you and I to know that we have to wear this armor. So let's jump back into the book of Ephesians here. 6 verse 12. We do not wrestle against the flesh and blood, or against individual people, but against principalities and powers. This is what I want you to know about those, and I'll bring this full circle, but principalities and powers speaks about evil fallen angels, all right? They hold evil power. They try to control things upon this earth that you and I are a part of, okay? They live in the spiritual realm, and they seek to exert their influence over the physical world. So I want to bring this full circle here just a little bit. Their goal is to oppose the work of God any way possible in the world. And their goal is to establish their own kingdom of darkness on earth. How many of you think we live in a pretty evil, wicked time today? Yeah, they did back then too, right? But we see a lot of wickedness that goes around, and we might even think that, boy, we think it's becoming more wicked, and sometimes you got to wonder about things, you know, is Christ getting ready to come back, and the things that we see that are happening in our world today, I don't know for sure, but that's not my worry. Our worry is to get out there and share the good news of Jesus Christ for those that don't know. That's our job. Christ will take care of everything else. But as we see this evilness that comes around us, I want you to be aware of the world that we live in today, because Satan's demonic beings, they wield the power in the unseen realms to oppose everything and everyone that is of God. Their job is to work against you and I. That's their main thing, to pull you away from Christ, to take away your eternal salvation and your children's and your friends and your neighbors. And they'll use anything possible to do that in your life. And now here's where it comes a little bit more real for you and I. When I talk about the principalities and powers, because they use visible structures and institutions within our society, and they have a way of influencing and controlling people. Now some of you are thinking, think about that just for a little bit. Most of these institutions appear to be controlled by human influence, but on the contrary, they are manipulated by spiritual forces. They can be organizations, institutions, movements, and even individuals that come against the church. And all those schemes that I'm going to be talking about over the next several weeks are things that come against the church that you and I might be a part of, that you might become aware of, that you might not like so much. But I think once you become aware of those things, let me just give you an idea. What is the most prominent force that is very, I'll say, public today, that we see as an institution, an organization that Satan uses against the church to destroy men, to destroy marriages, and destroy families? One word starts with a P. Pornography. An industry that has power and principality over things that is designed to destroy Christian men and even in some cases women. Do you see what I'm getting at? Do you see how that works? It used to come in a magazine, right? You could go to your local convenience store and you could buy it. Now it's on everyone's phone if you want to see it. And the struggle is very real. Powers and principalities. That's just one example that I want to give you this morning. There are so many more that I can give you, and I will give you in the weeks to come, of the things that influence your spiritual life. Do you think that Satan tempts men and women who are not believers in Jesus Christ? And he might in those ways, but do you think that they're a threat to him? No. But you, as a believer in Jesus Christ, who sits in this church and who's a follower, you are a threat to Satan, and he's going to try to work you over with whatever means he can. And if he can use pornography, men, to pull you away from your marriage, to pull you out of your family, to destroy those things, he's going to do it. That's just one example I can give you this morning of the way that the culture can work against the church. The schemes of Satan in our lives. There's a statistic out there, and you've heard it so many times. One out of every two men suffers with some kind of pornography issue. All right? So you just got to look around this morning. That means that half the men sitting here might have a pornography issue in our church. And by the way, that statistic doesn't mean that you're a Christian or not. That's just in general, by the way. One out of two men. Now, women can fall in the same trap, but it's not near as prevalent. But it does happen. And does it destroy marriages and families? Yes, it does. I've experienced it a couple times in my ministry already where it's ended up in divorce and it's ended up in terrible, bad ways. Pornography. So if you got a problem, seek help. Reach out. Get that figured out in your life. But most of these institutions, you might glare right over them or think, ah, it's no big deal, it's no big deal. But it is, because it works at those that are living on the fray. And that's where Satan attacks the lion in our lives. I have a true story I want to share with you this morning. There was a prominent Christian pastor that he got on a, I don't know why I always come up with these airplane stories, but I got an airplane story for you. So he got up, got on the plane, he sat down, and he noticed that next to him across the aisle was another man sitting there, probably in his mid-50s. He was well-dressed, looked like a businessman, was clean-shaven and stuff like that, and he had cards in his hand. He's flipping through these cards, and he could see the guy mumbling to him like he was almost memorizing or something like that, or he's praying. And so the pastor, he asked, "Sir, are you praying?" And the guy said, "Yeah, I am praying." He goes, "Oh, I believe in prayer too," the pastor said. And he goes, "Yeah." And so then he asks the guy, "What are you praying for?" And this is a true story, by the way. He said, "I'm praying for the downfall of Christian pastors in America." And he had a whole list of names. He's praying that they would fall to Satan's schemes. He was a satanic worshiper, dressed just like you and I, praying for the church to fail in the United States. And that pastor said, "I'm one of those people that you're praying against." This is literally what the guy said. "You might be, but you're not on my list." Meaning that there's several people that were part of this organization praying for the downfall of Christian pastors and leaders in America. That's the world we live in today. That's what spiritual warfare looks like. And you would never notice it by looking at the outside of this well-dressed businessman in his mid-50s sitting on this airplane. Those are the things that you and I face every day. And so it is very, very real. You know, we live in a time today when our traditional beliefs and values are under great attack from Satan. The church is, I think, in America, has never seen this kind of attack before. And you see it, you hear about it, you're living in the midst of it. But I also will say this, when the church gets attacked, it can also be its finest moment, because people will begin to see the truth. And when the Spirit of God can come and touch the lives of those that are maybe broken and hurting through the church, there's also a great amount of work that we are called to in the midst of that. But we are under attack. Church leaders are under attack. Churchgoers are under attack. Your religious rights, you still have them today. I wish that I could say, you know what, you're going to keep them forever, but I'm always not so sure that you'll be able to keep that. Texas is looking at a law. The state of Minnesota is looking at a law that for pastors that preach the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that if they bring up certain words in sermons, and they are starting to regulate that now through the web, and if you use certain hate speech or you bring up certain types of people, such as those living in different types of sexual relationships, that those things would be flagged, and those pastors can be in prison for using those types of things in sermons in the state of Texas and the state of Minnesota. And by the way, those are in the houses and being voted upon. That's where we're at today. That's spiritual warfare. Powers and principalities that come against you and I in the church. Another example that I can give you. And so we have to be aware of what's going on today in the United States. And I brought up that word at the end of the two verses, I think it's verse 19 and 20, where Paul says, "May I preach the word of God fearlessly." Meaning that don't back down from the things that I'm coming against, right? That we need to stay to the truth. And you as a believer of Jesus Christ, I think that you need to stand fearlessly today for the word of Christ, for what you believe, because you are under attack. You're at war. And you probably come in this morning thinking, well, I'm ready to get jazzed by Rob, and I'm ready to go home and fight this week, but I don't want you to leave with your heads hanging down. I want you to keep your chin up, because we already got one that's won the battle, right? In Jesus. And if you're following him, you're going to be just fine. And if you get the tools that you need to fight the fight, you're going to be just fine. So don't be scared. Don't be intimidated. Don't be worried. Know where you stand. And be a warrior for Jesus Christ. Be fearless. Share the good news of Jesus Christ. Don't worry about what's going to happen. Paul spent some time in prison. So did some of the other disciples in the name of Jesus Christ, right? So if you got to go to prison, we go to prison. Right? That's how it works. That's how it's going to look. I don't know what the future holds for our country today. I hope that this is a wake-up call for the churches today, for you and I, but I mean throughout the world, and who we are here in the country that we live in. I do feel that we have work to do, and the church can no longer be silent. We have to rise up, and people need to know where you stand. Because I think that's one of Satan's schemes, that you just hang back, don't say anything, just let it go. I don't believe that that's what God called us to do. So, may I encourage you to come back next week. We're going to talk about the armor of God. In the midst of all those things, we're going to break down every piece. We're going to look at how that looks in our lives and what that means for us, prayer and being prepared for those types of things. And it talks about the helmet of salvation and the armor and stuff like that you wear, the shield of faith, those types of things. And we'll look at every one of those pieces and what that means for you and I to fight the war. And it's not as hard as you think. So don't let that be intimidating when I say you got to put it on every day. Because I think most of you already put some of it on. You just don't know it. And once you become aware of it, you'll see what I'm talking about. So come back next week. Get part two of this. And be ready to be challenged. And I hope that you're challenged today of what we're facing. And this series will continue here in the next several weeks. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you bless us today. You spoke to us in a mighty way this morning of the church and where we stand in America today. Lord, I pray that you awaken our spirits to the reality and the schemes of Satan. Lord, we have some strong believers that sit in this church. Lord, and they know where they stand. They know where they stand in their faith. They know where they stand when that day comes and you might call them home, that they have salvation. But yet, Lord, that doesn't mean that Satan doesn't work against us. And Lord, I pray for those that are maybe living on the fringe or maybe the outside of the pack, Lord, may you give them strength to move in tighter to the core and to draw closer to you. And Lord, may you just be with us throughout this coming week. Lord, as we prepare to hear about the spiritual armor, Lord, I know that Satan's going to work hard. He'll make every excuse that's in his arsenal to come against us for different things. So may you watch over us and may you protect us through your Holy Spirit, Lord. And I just pray for the church today. May we rise up and may we do battle in this world today. In Jesus, I pray these things. Amen.